I have a program.
What's Kitty's name, by the way?
That is Daisy, but with a Z, and she's named ironically because she's hyper as fuck. Right now she's not. She's being chill. Is but it
Kitty Dog?
Yeah, it's like when the night falls, it awakes.
Oh, nice. Yeah,
and crazy. I still have some residual marks of when I fed it, and it was happy. So it dug its claws into my forearm.
You got more cats?
No, just the one. And it's not even ours. It's my sister's.
Oh, cool.
But she's working on being responsible, so we get the cat every so often.
Mm-hmm.
She can't handle it. She's going to school of Guelph. It's going good. She's right. into, I believe, just psychology, but like to become a therapist. So yes. As soon as she gets that degree, I can just get free therapy.
Holla.
It's going to be awesome. Yeah. Hell yeah. But, yeah, I mean, what we were talking about earlier that wasn't recorded, but the whole concept of, yeah, the fourth dimensions and the slides and everything, like...
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, that's what I was saying, is that you should never take, again, reality or your reality too seriously. No, yeah. It's not to say not too seriously, but, with our five senses, all we merely experience cross-sections of all of these things, right? Within
yeah.
the spectrum of light... Human with their eyeball, we can only see, you know, a very small spectrum, and then get into things like x-rays, gamma rays, whatever, all that other crazy stuff. And
yeah.
the same thing as far as sound, right? There's a small spectrum wherein we can hear,
yeah.
and there's all types of other things that we just, like, aren't even, our sensory senses aren't, don't let us be aware of them.
Yeah, our perception's narrow as hell.
And so between our five senses, we have this reality of a very narrow cross-section of all of these things, which is, like, highly specific.
Yeah.
And so, again, that's all of those perceptions are relative to that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but it, like we create technology that can see in infrared
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
like gamma ray, and you know we got night
yeah.
vision shit like that, so that's great, and we use that in telescopes and observing like galaxies and stuff.
Oh yeah,
but they're saying the same thing could exist for time. That time is this wavelength, so we're existing in the short spectrum. You know, you can say the here and now, and it's speculative whether or not you can see into the future, even if you can't go there.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I, like...
Is this water bottle back?
Yeah, that's for you.
Oh,
there
my God, legendary.
I know, you know, I like
Look
to
this
be
guy.
Your host. But the same thing could be with reality, right? You go to sleep, and you're just, like, you know, all of a sudden now you have the eyeballs of you, but in a different dimension.
Mm-hmm.
Even though, obviously, there's crazy abstract dreams, other dreams that are, like, really boring and just, like, real life.
Yeah.
But with, like, little twists to it. You know, most likely dreams are just our brain resetting and like helping the immune system while giving us a trip.
Yeah.
Which also, I don't think you know this, but I'm a recovering alcoholic. I got almost 2 months under my belt.
Yo, congrats.
Thank you very much, sir.
That's
and,
dope.
I started to dream again recently, and
oh,
I'm having
awesome.
Crazy dreams. And I think it's because, dreaming is, your body's natural DMT kicking in.
Yeah, yeah.
And so when I was drinking to go to sleep, like, almost every night, clearly my brain was being replaced with a different type of, you know, toxin or, you know,
yeah.
exterior thing that was stopping me from dreaming, so.
Yeah. Well, now, to any degree, something that's definitely clouding it or messing it up to whatever degree.
Messes the brain chemistry,
yeah.
right? Whether it's
yeah.
alcohol or weed or whatever.
That's awesome.
So,
yeah, my,
yeah.
I have a family member who's also recovering in there. Doing
That's
pretty
good.
Well, so I'm highly supportive. There's actually, and as far as like AA and stuff in the 12-step program,
yeah.
I've never truly respected it until I I'm fully supportive of people who've gone there. Always, I've always been supportive.
Yeah.
But I mean, I've never like got it myself
yeah.
until I watched a movie recently called "Don't Worry, He Won't Get Far on Foot."
I haven't seen it yet, but I heard it's really good.
Dope.
Yeah,
it's the story of John Callahan, I believe. I hope.
Is it based on a true story?
Yeah, yeah. The,
okay,
the fellow
true.
Who's he was an illustrator. Became a recovering alcoholic, became a paraplegic before he was a recovering alcoholic.
Yeah.
I won't ruin the story because it's just a really, really good story. Unless that's
yeah.
what you want to discuss, but it's, yeah, it's
well,
a really
non-spoiler,
movie.
How would you go over the beginning and middle without giving the end? Or the twist?
Well, just this
the 12 steps,
guy who was an alcoholic, again, made, like, careless decisions and,
yeah.
You know, got into a vehicle with someone else who was drinking and
oh.
was ejected from the vehicle.
Yeah.
And, you know, as a result, he's a paraplegic, and his quality of life and whatnot has obviously diminished. So it's a story about him finding his new purpose in life, as well as just telling, like, the biographical story of him.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, again, talking about that stuff, as far as being, like, a good director or anything, life experience is, like, the most important thing.
Oh,
and when I said ejected from the vehicle, it reminded me of This past summer, I was like the first responder for someone who was like ejected from a vehicle near my cottage. Like,
for real?
Yeah.
I don't know if I know the story.
It was like super surreal. So basically, Dash and I are having dinner or whatever somewhere like in Huntsville.
I was in Huntsville last weekend.
Huntsville's awesome, man. It's starting to boom, too. They've got film stuff. I want to work there this next summer if I can. Yeah, I've got a lot of buddies that have been working there. It's starting to really
go up. It's a beautiful place. I mean, it's you know, photo pretty.
Sorry, I'm taking bites. I'm eating a pizza here.
Yeah, beautiful pizza. Mm-hmm. What's the name of the pizza? We call that again?
Tropical Hawaiian Panzerotti or Panzerano? I don't know.
Panzerana, something like that.
Yeah.
Italians don't kill us. I'm 1/8 Italian. You can't kill me. One of you. That's all I got going for me.
But anyways, so we're on our way back from this restaurant. And thankfully, I'm not driving my car. I'm driving Dash's car. Because my car, as you can see, it's like a shitbox on the wheels.
It's not made for all terrain.
Although I've even taken it out on like a rally course before. But yeah, that thing's seen the wars.
Yeah.
So anyways, Dash and I are about to get back on Highway 11, which has, like, lights on it for the most part, but a lot of the on-ramps, like, up north there just don't have lights, so you're just depending on your headlights. And, like, in newer, like, more expensive cars, things like BMWs and Mercedes, when you actually turn the steering wheel, the lights actually turn as well, so that you're able to kind of corner a little better and see around corners and whatnot, get an idea of what's there before you actually have to face it fully frontal. Our car doesn't have that, so when we're coming on the on-ramp, you're basically gunning it, and everyone speeds on the highway, right?
Yeah.
And you're gunning to merge with people who are going, you know, over 100, probably like 120, 130, whatever.
Yeah.
So when you come around the bend, you, like, step on the gas. And I step on the gas as I come around the bend, and everything happens so quickly. It's like, this is the span of, like, 3-4 seconds, maybe.
Yeah.
There's just, like, debris all over the road, and because of the speed I'm already at, I need to veer off. So I basically need to pick a shoulder to take left or right. Thankfully, I picked the right. I wasn't aware, and I'll explain in a second, but there was actually, like, a rolled-over truck that I just, like, didn't even see. Or, well, it was righted, but yeah. And so I veer off to the right and pull on the handbrake, and it's just like, holy shit. And it's, like, a moment out of a horror scene, and this is also, like, this could have been so bad. This played out, like, 5 times in my head. But in front of me, I see 2 kids, like, covered in blood, like, sprinting at the car. Jesus. And I'm, like, freaking out. This all happened in, like, a second and a half of that, like, 4 second span. Yeah, and these kids are sprinting at the car. And P.S., just to add, like, a little bit of context to where my head was, Dash and I had watched some horror movie or some scene from a horror movie a couple days before that. And with that exact same technique, like, when you're cornering, because our car can only expose what's in front of us once we're fully facing it, the kids came out, like, last minute. And in that horror movie, you know, it basically exposes this woman with a knife last minute. And she's standing there all creepy and starts, like, stabbing herself and running at the car. And it ran through my head for a sec because these kids are sprinting.
There's just a flash of people.
Yeah. And then, again, it's so quick that my brain jumps to the next thing. It's like, oh, my God, this is, like, highway robbery. This is, like, a setup, and these kids are about to, like, do something. So, my brain, again, for a second, I'm, like, ready to, like, jump on the gas or something. I don't, I didn't. Yeah. And it's apparent to me again after another half second, it's like, okay, these kids are in trouble and they're running to me for help.
Yeah.
And so I put down the window and these kids are like freaking out. It's just like, okay, yo, what's going on? And they're like, yeah, like we lost this girl. I'm like, well, what do you mean like lost this girl? It's like, yeah, like we rolled the truck and she like flew out. She got like ejected from the vehicle and we don't know where she is. And it's like, holy shit.
Yeah.
So throw on the hazards. I get out and start, and by the way, because of centrifugal force is like a crazy thing. I'll get more into the story, but anyways, because the truck rolled, everything that was inside and all of the windows blew, everything that was inside flew, like when anything's rolling, it goes outwards. Okay, so everything flew out, like the whole ground was littered, and because the truck was totaled and all of their phones flew out as well because they were loose in the car, they didn't have any light. And this is on the on-ramp, so there's, like, no light. Our car was the first source of light that these kids saw after they were freaking out looking for this girl.
Yeah.
I whip out my phone, and I whip out my light and start looking for their stuff. I call, like, one of their numbers, and then I find this phone in front of me that's ringing, and it's, like the kid put in, I guess, the girl's number because he was looking for her, and it's her phone that we find.
Yeah.
And so then I've got, like, another source of light, and we're looking around, like, the truck or whatever. The truck that had rolled a few times apparently, and had righted itself right onto the edge of, kind of the edge of a ditch on the one side of the on-ramp. And it's like, because the wheels had also like broken off, it was lurched over in such a manner that like it was ready to roll into the ditch. It was already like leaning partway in.
Yeah.
And so we see where the girl landed, and when she was ejected, when the thing was rolling, she thankfully cleared the cement and landed perfectly in the transition, like one in a million, the most perfect way to land in this like grassy area in between rocks. Jesus. And it's like, holy shit. So she's like there, and like she's wait, like we find her, and like she's waking up, and then I hear this like other car coming around the bend, and we're like on the other side of this truck, by the way, and like it's like I said, it's lurched in such a manner that if I had pulled off to the left instead of to the right, I would have knocked this truck onto this freaking girl. So anyways, we hear these like this car coming. And, like, they, again, you, just as they come around the bend, they step on the gas, just as I did. And I'm freaking out now because I put it all together. It's like the middle of the road is covered in debris. The right side now has my vehicle with the hazards on. That's actually visible. And the most likely thing that they're going to veer off to is this side where the truck is that's already lurched. And, like, part of me is, like, standing up ready to just, like, I hate to say it, but, like, again, ready to save my own life if I need to.
Jump out of the way.
And like, and so yelling at the kids, and they like, for one of them just like really ballsy, like runs out in front of it, like waving his arms. And this guy, the second responder, was like super quick thinking, throws his car into reverse, goes to the bottom of the on-ramp, parks us sideways, and puts the hazards on us to be like, hey, now no one can get on the on-ramp. Like, that's what I should have done, but I wasn't, again, thinking as quickly. I guess I was also looking for the girl with the kids. So yeah, then like a couple minutes later, like a couple ambulance drivers come, and as she's waking up too, there's like a spider crawling on her, and she starts like freaking out, and we're all like worried about her back and stuff, and she's like trying to get up, so we're just trying to get her like calm down, and she's freaking out. And then the ambulances come, and yeah, like I didn't even get anyone's like info or name, or even the fellow who actually helped me with it. I think his name was Keith or something. I don't even remember, but all that happened is we knew the ambulances were coming, the cops were coming, and then we just kind of, like, said, like, good job to each other and walked away. And, like, that was it. It was, like, the most, like, epic fucking moment ever. And it was, like,
yeah, none of it's, like, recorded, no info's taken. Yeah, you're just like, all right, goodbye.
And so, check this out. The next day, and I'm, like, sad about it almost. I'm like, damn, I should have, like, I was really worried about that kid. Like, I should have gotten his info and, like, checked in on him or whatever. As well as, like, the girl who had been thrown out.
Yeah.
So I get a call the next day. And because I'd called one of their phones, Buddy had my number. So he just, like, called me and be like, yo, thank you. And so since then, we actually, like when I've gone up north, we've had him over for dinner and stuff. He's actually a really, really swell kid.
Now, you say kid. Is this 14 or 9 or what?
No, so no, the three of it was a 15-year-old, 17-year-old, and 19-year-old.
Wow. Yeah. Were they joyriding? What were they doing?
No. Apparently, again, I hope not, but they were on the way to some party or something. And they were on their way on the on-ramp, and there was a truck in front of them that had like cut them off in such a way that when he was on like the outside like of that ditch, if you will, on the on-ramp, on the outskirt of it, and because he was trying to maneuver his car to get back on, you know, there's these things called flags, and what he described, they're basically these tiny little signs with just like a little triangle on it or whatever. And apparently, because he was trying to roll into the ditch, those flags kept righting the back of his car to keep him in line, which like brought him further over to like a more dangerous spot where like he rolled or whatever. But yeah, in any case, like whatever he was charged with, I think all was dropped. And I know he was really worried about like his military career too. Cause, like, first thing when the accident happened, he was freaking out. Like, where's this girl? Is she alive? Holy shit! Once he knew that she was safe, then his own interest started to come into play, and that's when he's freaking out. He's like, oh my god, like, my fucking military career is, like, over. And that's, like, you know, really, really important to him, clearly. But, yeah, man. And I still wish him all the best. He's doing pretty well for what I know. I've got a portrait of him that I still want to publish somewhere.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, that's good, man. That's a crazy story.
Yeah, that's one of my, like, highlight stories of, like, just, like, real life experience. I was like, wow, that's something that, you know, I'll take with me.
Yeah, I mean, it's... it's weird the odds that we have just to live our life, you know? Because it's like, sure, we invented cars, so we're creating more of a danger for ourselves in order to benefit time and what have you. But still, it's, you know, the like like that situation could have left one person dead or all of them dead. It could have, you could have crashed into them and caused serious injury.
Oh yeah.
Everyone turned out okay. That's not bad, you know.
There's risks everywhere though, right?
Yeah.
We're like inherent risks fucking walking outside.
Yeah, that's true.
Fall.
Random lightning storm comes out of nowhere. Dry lightning. Have you ever seen dry lightning before?
Oh, that was
comes out of the ground.
Oh, that's dope. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, scary.
I have, actually.
I only saw it one time. I think I was like 17 or 18. Crazy stuff, man.
Have you ever like watched storms or lightning?
Yeah, I do it all the time.
I love that shit.
Because it's the best. It's like reverse fear, you know? Like some people cow whenever there's the thunderstorm. Yeah,
yeah. My favorite storm of all time, when I was with my ex and I was with Gabby, we used to go to like North Carolina every year. And on the beach one year, I just remember like one of the like lightning coming from everywhere. It was over the water for the most part. And there was wind. And like their whole family was like freaking out. They're inside and had the shutters drawn and everything. And we're like, oh my God, what are you doing outside? But I was just like experiencing it. I wasn't like out in the field. I wasn't like, it's already,
grab a lightning rod and chase it in.
It's bad that I'm outside, but you know, I'm in a fairly like controlled area. I'm pretty far away from the storm.
You didn't rub your socks on a rug before
it. Yeah, no. and I put on, I forget what I put on. So, something by Beethoven, I believe.
Okay, what, the 7th? Because that's the shit to listen to.
Yeah, yeah. And
wait, what was the theme? Was it dramatic? Like, dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun. Actually, no, it was Tchaikovsky. It was the 1812 Overture.
Yeah, hell yeah. Oh my God. V for Vendetta. That's
some shit. Yeah, but it basically was like a music video. Everything was like synced almost, but it's just because there was lightning every second that it could have been like, you know, you're just watching a synth or something.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But yeah, it was a full-on light show. It was awesome.
All right, well, I think it's time to introduce the podcast.
Yeah, let's give her.
Welcome, everyone, to the Joe Van Secret Podcast. I used to have an intro, now I don't. What I have instead are sponsors. Our sponsor today is Area 51. Area 51. At least you don't know about Paradise Ranch. Okay, back to the podcast. That's it. That's a great thing. It's just a hobby, right? I have no special interests, you know? I can say whatever I want. I'll probably release it after this, but just a week or two ago, I recorded two people from my work that came in to talk about politics. One of them was a libertarian. The other one was a hard conservative.
Oh, how'd that go?
Good. We only got through like 4 or 5 topics out of the 23 that I thought we could cover in an hour.
Was it just a gnarly argument where they just at each other's throats?
They were super civil, considering, right? They're both relatively young, which I think helps.
Good.
The older you get, the more set you are in your ways, right?
Back in Sino.
Yeah. Exactly. But, you could talk about anything, right? Like, I'll probably have someone on where I argue science with them, because they're really big into flat Earth and evolution isn't real and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, jeez.
So, because for me, I'm very passionate about science. That's the one thing that I hold my cornerstone of my personality and adherence to reality on, is the fundamentals of things like gravity and light and relativity, you know? It's usually like the basics of how reality works.
Things that we can show that are grounded. I'm still open to believing things outside of that. But as far as things that are grounded in front of your face when we're having those discussions, that's when I don't like ignorant shit. Like, although there's weird, ironic ignorant stuff. Like that guy who was flew his rocket over the Grand Canyon or whatever. And he built it for like cheaper than NASA built it. And he's a flat earther. What the fuck?
That's crazy.
How does that work?
I don't know, buddy. I mean,
like, you're clearly intelligible.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Well, that's like people who go to university for years and years, and they're like top of their class, and they're creationists, and they go to like biology just to disprove evolution. And it's like, but you're there, and you're learning everything, and you're going so extensive into how geology works, and how just genomes work, and the spread of different DNA based on natural selection. And they're like, no, that's all bullshit. I don't need, baby. It's like, listen, religion is done a tremendous good for humanity when it comes to community building, right? If it wasn't for religion, we'd literally still be at our throats as cave people, right? That was one of the first fundamentals. Like, before kingdoms held together because of religion in most places, right? And it's the whole concept of the God of the Gaps. The more we know, the shorter the gap gets. Because before, it's like, obviously, evolution didn't exist. We got ill and we didn't know why, right? We had no research into disease or anything. So we've come a long way, and the only reason we've come a long way is due to science and technology, right? I mean, also just basic human progress, like the Renaissance and things like that, but I mean, you know, science, you know, I don't know, maybe I just have a hard-on for science, I don't know. I still love theories. I love theories. You know the theory about last Thursday?
What?
Have you heard that one? The entire universe was created last Thursday, including all of your memories and all of human civilization, everything.
That's funny.
Because it's like the Big Bang happened, and time was super fast, and it's just slowing down now. Just last Thursday, you know?
That's funny.
Yeah, there's no way to disprove it. That's the best part. Anyway.
One of my favorite theories, I forget what it's called, it's like sperma side or something. And it's just a theory, but I do think it could be plausible, at the very least. In the last few years, they discovered that there's some asteroids that actually have, like, traces of DNA on them.
Yeah.
And so the theory is that, essentially, kind of like ovum and a sperm, like, if these asteroids have DNA on them and land on a habitable egg, if you will, and a planet, so i.e. one of these asteroids plummets to Earth, lands in the water, cell replication starts to take place, boom, here we are millions of years later. And that's just like, again, we're the equivalent of like something small that's happened maybe, right? Just a fart in the wind of the grand scheme of the universe. Like there's probably much more habitable places or things that were much more conducive to life that are maybe like, you know, miles ahead of us or whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Just hidden in time and space.
I always have so much fun thinking about that theory. That's like, oh man, we should write a sci-fi thing.
Well, that's the thing. Your theory is one, like, yeah, I forget what it's called, but I think I've heard that too. Something to do with sperm.
Mm-hmm.
And we have found bacteria on asteroids, I'm pretty sure. That's a scientific fact. So that's why a lot of scientists are holding on to the abiogenesis as being that chemicals reacted through lightning storms and hot boiling soup on the early Earth, where DNA or RNA started and then developed DNA and then developed single-celled life, and then they started eating each other, which created diversity, and then yada yada bing bang boom, here we are. But it's like, it's just as plausible that that happened on a different planet like Mars, and then asteroids came, you know.
All since last Thursday.
Yeah, that's right. All since last Thursday we came in. But anyway, yeah, I mean, theories are great. I love theories. Theory of relativity, theory of evolution. Well, they're scientific theories compared to these theories, which are just based off of ideas.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's all based on logic. Logic is like math, but just, you know, math of things rather than math of pure numbers.
Yeah.
Because, what's one of the best ones I give? I forget what. I don't know, but just, yeah, logic. Logic's fun. A lot of people are good at logic and they don't realize. Like, now I'm forgetting what they're called, but the people that like con other people into thinking they can talk to their loved ones that have passed on.
Oh, yeah.
Grave. They're really, really smart with like picking people's brains.
Yeah.
And they do it at like lightning speed, where it's like, it is literally because they're like, have a different type of brain, where they can read people.
I guess for a lot of them, though, I feel like it's just a method that's tried and true, right? And it's like a hierarchy that if you break down, you'll be able to emit some type of emotion from someone.
Is it a J? Is it a K? Is it an E? It's an E. I knew it. Got it first try.
Like that stuff I always find so specific. But what's that? There's an episode of South Park that breaks it down so well. Biggest douche in the universe?
Well, I don't know.
Okay, you need to. I'm going to ask you to watch that episode after this podcast.
Yeah.
It's about John Edwards, who's a real medium. And I get the feeling Matt Stone or Trey Parker, someone in their, you know, family must have had a personal brush with him or something.
Yeah.
Because the whole episode is essentially like a defamation thing. Oh, but I support it. I fully support it because it's like, he does seem like he's a predator in the sense that he's looking for people that are so desperate, who don't have closure with their loved ones. People have been like potentially like kidnapped or children who are dead that parents have never come to terms with and stuff like that. And this guy feeds into that and then uses them as, again, they're like his puppets in front of other people to be like, oh, look how believable this is.
Yeah, and there's something
super wrong about that. You know, if people seek it as a comfort, maybe that's something else. But you know, when he's preying upon people's desperation and their need or want for closure, something they can't have, that's like wrong. And yeah, the episode just like tears him a new asshole, and breaks. There's one scene, and Stan is like the voice of reason in South Park. I actually love South Park. Stan is always supposed to be everyone. That's logical brain, right? That's everyone's rationale. And there's this moment where he breaks down how most of these mediums, again, do their shit. And yeah, it's like this very, very simplistic like approach to being like, in crowds of people, when I say these generalized statements, the more someone reacts, the more I'll hone in on, like, you know, whatever it
it's
is.
It's like fishing. Right?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
That's so fucked. That is predator. Yeah. It's predator as fuck.
And yeah, just...
Because, yeah, that's, I think the word is the correlation versus causation.
Mm-hmm.
It's why a lot of people misread experiencing states of higher consciousness as, like, religious experiences. Mm. Like, a lot of born-again Christians, I shouldn't say a lot, but more than 10% of born-again Christians get to that state because they had a stint with a hard drug, whether, like, if they, like, almost had a heroin overdose or something like that, and they almost die, and they have this experience that is like their brain shutting off certain areas, which is which can allow things like a state of higher consciousness, and then they equate that to something like, you know, Jesus wants me to spread his message. And it's like, it's important that we know what we're doing, because it's like people have had intelligent brains since 200,000 years ago or whatever it is, right? Mm-hmm. There's probably more longer than that, but we just haven't really developed civilization or archaeology or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Getting there, but it's like, yeah, it's just weird how ideas work. Ideas can corrupt basic things, where it's like, we have pattern-seeking brains. That's why we can see patterns in the stars, or, you know, you can... Like, superstition is when that goes awry, which I think is what I was getting at with the whole, the medium aspect of it,
mm-hmm.
where it's like, this plus this, therefore this, even though there is no correlation between the two,
but
because there is this state over here, it must have been because you said something or whatever, right?
Fill the gap with whatever.
Yeah, and then it works, and that is definitely one way to con people.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's a crazy world we live in. Especially because, like, we don't really know what's going on, right? As far as science goes, we don't have all the answers.
Well, I guess, just to play devil's advocate here,
yeah, of course.
As far as having faith in science, we're not, like, the scientists doing the tests, so to a degree...
We're just believing
in it. It is just blind faith. I'm sure, though, that if I made the effort to be studious and learn about how these principles work and like, you know, spend a few years being like, oh, I'm doing the science now myself, I'm tracking these facts,
I've done the experiment, here it is.
Then yeah, but I have no, again, I don't think that there's some conspiracy that all the scientists are all on the school.
All of history.
Plus, I've got one of my close buddies. Oh my God, maybe it is.
Yeah, exactly. Wait a minute. No, yeah, I mean, that's the whole Illuminati, the Freemasons, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Apparently they control the scientific community as well. Or so says, you know.
I'm sure a lot of these communities have strong pulls and strong ties into these things.
I wouldn't say towards science, though, because science is non-centralized.
When I say these things, I don't mean, like, science. I mean just to, like...
the banking system.
Yeah. Government. Not even so specific, but just to whoever within their communities has some status, you know, that it can be used to benefit the other people on the team. It's no different. And I actually... Because it doesn't matter, but I happen to know some, like, Scientologists in the film industry firsthand.
Ooh, nice.
And I don't necessarily believe that all of them are devout Scientologists, right? I think
pulling the game, right?
I think a lot of them do it for the sake of, you know, being a part of a network, and because it, like, pays itself forward in that regard. It's like, oh, I'm part of this network, so I can call on so and so, and I can also, you know, benefit them. I can offer them whatever it is, and
yeah. It's mutually beneficial, so there's no real moral agreements towards doing something like that.
Yeah.
For me, though, I'm just, like, I don't know what the right word is. I don't think it's naive, but I'm too incapable of playing games in the sense of society. Like, I'm really bad at that. Like, when I was a kid, it's like, my dad's like, all right, you're gonna go play hockey. And it's like, obviously, I could have just tried to do it, but I was like, I don't wanna. So I just didn't do it. And it's like,
because there, why did you not do it? A sense of competition, or
No, I think it's big groups. I like small groups.
Okay.
And that's, you know, everybody's their own way with that, right? Because it's a form of introversy, right? I don't know.
There's sports that are individual.
Like tennis, golf,
discus,
whatever, right? Discus. There you go. Javelin. Yeah, should have got into that.
Fuck everyone else.
I got into track and field. That's kind of like that. You're trying to run away from everyone.
Nice.
So you're just alone, right? You go on.
Yeah, I did shot put 1 year.
You did? Nice. Yeah, in high school?
No.
Just in the world?
Just before. No, in middle school. We had.
Oh, middle school. Nice.
What the hell were the name of those contests? It was like Ontario something. Place like fourth or some shit.
Yo, that's really good.
Yeah.
Best I ever got. Okay, I'm going to have it up there. I used to have it on my corkboard. I got 10th place in grade 6. track, or not track and field, cross country.
Nice.
And yeah, and then after that I got like 16th place and 60th, and then start smoking, you know.
Yeah, I've been running lately.
Yeah, okay, that's good.
I'm trying to quit smoking. I got back. I stopped smoking everything fully for a week. When I was doing these like 2 days, going to the gym twice a day to be like getting my mind right. And, I guess in a sense I'm a recovering addict. But mostly like from, but again, I've had habitual issues with whatever, it's like alcohol or weed, and so I've definitely put myself into a different state where I never let myself abuse those things. Yeah. But again, you'll still find a reason now and then to, again, be lazy and be like, oh yeah, like instead of going to the gym, I'm gonna like socialize with this person. The next thing you know, they're smoking, and you're like, oh, I'm not gonna miss out.
Not gonna not, yeah.
Yeah, but that's obviously, again, just like rationalizing that behavior.
Well, it's the difference between psychology and sociology. I mean, I don't know why we haven't done more testing on this, because you know how there was those two big experiments, the one where, and I don't know the name of either, but there was the jail one, where half the people are prisoners, the other half are...
We need to look these things up.
Just to be...
I believe one is the Milgram experiment, the other one's they have a Netflix thing on.
And then the one where it's like you buzz the person, the person's not really being hurt.
The Stanford prison experiment, that's one. Yeah. And then...
the one where you
gotta buzz the guy. Let me see what the Milgram thing is. Yeah, that's the obedience to authority figures.
Yeah,
so that's the other one.
Because it's not so, like, that one was obedience to authority figures, and we need more testing like that, but obviously it kind of might be a bit sketchy on as far as human rights go with how far you can push things.
Yeah, definitely super unethical. I feel like that's the bigger takeaway from things like the Stanford prison experiment. Not as much as, like, they did learn some brilliant stuff, but the bigger takeaway is, like, where is the line within this testing, right?
Of civility, like, yeah. How far are we going to go?
Yeah.
Destroying human life just to find out something?
And then it becomes a bit, like, again, then that stretches into other topics, such as, like, oh, well, if we had the ability to clone things, then, like,
then
why wouldn't we just do it to, like, one thing repetitively? And in some regards, it's like, wait, that's even more unethical, because then we're not sharing the burden. It really, really depends how you look at it.
Yeah, but where I was going with that was, like, sociology versus psychology is, that, yeah, there's the authority aspect, but, like, if you're hanging out with your friend, there's no authority aspect there, except for maybe a host versus a guest, and then also the call to action, because I don't know what that's actually called in psychology, but the whole hero's journey concept is when, like, if you're given a call to action, right, you either take it or you don't, and, I mean, you know, talking on my ass at this point, but... It's like when I drank, it was like a Jekyll and Hyde scenario. Not that I became a terrible person and did terrible things, but I would do things that the sober me would never do, which is a big reason why I had to stop doing it, right? Where it's like I hold myself up in my room so that I don't socialize, so that I don't do anything that I'd regret. But then it's like you can do that for only so long before you have a social encounter that ruins your life.
Yeah, and that's the balance of control. Because for me, and I guess that's the biggest thing about, like, whether it's the 12-step program or whatever your methods are, the environment plays a big role, but if you just cut off every opportunity that you might be able to drink, then in that sense, alcohol still controls your life.
Yeah, you didn't fix anything.
Exactly.
Right?
The
you
biggest
gotta be able to live in the world.
Is if you can live as you would without it affecting you, right? Yeah. Or not even without it affecting you, but without it hindering or impeding your life. And that's where that, like, divide, I guess, or black and white line has to be. It's like, if I can't be in this environment, period, without it affecting me, it's like, then this is something I need to cut out of my life. Hopefully it doesn't need to be that extreme where you need to cut off a million and one things and you have no quality of life. Then you're just fucked. Then I don't know what to tell you.
Just live fast, die young.
Yeah, then the 12 steps have failed you, you know, just fucking...
Yeah. It's about manageability, right? Yeah. Rather than...
You'll have to skydive every day.
Yeah, exactly. Some
just the only high that'll...
Yeah, for me, I got the old SAD. I feel like a lot of people do, and they don't talk
about
it.
Oh, dude, that's seasonal affective, baby. Tell me about it.
Like, fuck winter, man. And here's the thing. I'm not even against winter. It's like, the cold's okay. Well, I mean, I hate the cold, but
it's manageable. It sinks through to my bones. I have poor circulation.
Yeah. Oh, you need iron?
Oh, God. Like that too.
Yeah.
It's just a hereditary thing, I think, as well. Oh, have you seen that movie?
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah, you seen the movie?
I just saw it. It's hurts. Great. I like
I loved movie. It, and then the ending was like, I'm not superstitious, but I watched that, and I was like, I'm gonna see the devil tonight. I'm gonna be in my room, and a headless person's just gonna walk in.
Yeah, no, I liked it. That was one of the few horror movies that I've liked all the way through. I actually placed it in my top five. And there's other movies that taper off completely, like things like Insidious for me. The build-up is easily one of the best I've ever experienced, and the one thing, my biggest takeaway from movies like that are, like, your imagination does a better job of scaring you than showing you the real thing ever will.
Let's go into the spirit world, and then the thing's just there, like, like, that's not scary. It would have been way scarier if you didn't show that.
What's scary is all of the implicit stuff that goes on otherwise, right? When they're showing just an eye or a fleck of something or something that can be, like...
Your imagination draws the picture of what you personally think is the scariest.
The unknown, and our brains are always know what scares best because they don't know. Yeah. And as soon as we see a monster, we now have again something grounded as a base, as a reference to come back to. Right now, everything relative to that will become increasingly less scary because we're aware of this thing.
Fear is a beautiful thing, man. Yeah. Especially if you know it, right?
Yeah.
Like for me, this didn't start till I think I was like 18 or 19 or something. But
alcoholism or horror stuff?
Well, alcoholism, but then also with horror. I started having nightmares about getting, like, mauled by mountain lions and stuff.
Oh, jeez.
And I don't know why. But,
maybe
like,
something.
It's super primal. Yeah, maybe it's in the future, you know? It's preparing me.
Have you asked anyone? Like, any dream interpreting people?
No, not yet. I called one from Oakville once to make a reservation. She's like, we don't do that. And I'm like, all right, well, I'm not coming in.
Oh, man.
But, yeah, I don't know why. And then the other nightmares that I have that are more than one, it's not repeating, but it's just different nightmares about the same subject, is, like... a woman with, like, long black hair covering her face and just a blood-soaked white gown, and she's, like, schizophrenic or something, and she's, like, crawling through the woods and, like, trying to get me and stuff, and she's, like, mimicking my movement. That's, like, the scariest part, because I'm, like, trying to run, and she runs, like, at the same speed as me.
Oh, my God.
But for... I think the reason why I have it is, at least with the woman one, that's easy enough, because it's the Uncanny Valley. And I don't know why we have this in us, right? Because it's, like, our fears are based on survival. So it's, like... Fear of the unknown makes sense, right? Because that's the same as the dark or whatever, whatever, right? Because it's like it's a predator that could kill us. We're in a cave and there's a dark object moving. That's terrifying. But the Uncanny Valley, that must be based on like disease or something. If someone looks a little off, like their face is slouched or something, or they got like a rash on their skin, then we're supposed to start to get scared. But it's like if a face... There's a YouTube channel, and I don't remember the name again. We don't have to look this one up. But it's... like human-sized porcelain dolls where it's and they're like animatronic and they sing and stuff, and it's like similar but just a little slightly
creepy.
Off. Yeah, if something's slightly off from what humans should look like, it's the scariest thing in the world.
You'll need to show me this later because that sounds like a brilliant idea for a movie or something. Maybe this museum,
just a museum full of them, and it's like, hey, they work. It'd be like the good version of whatever that Jake Gyllenhaal movie is.
Like break probably one, and they'll just like a real person will break.
Oh yeah, yeah, comes out, save me, it just comes back.
Yeah, Velvet Buzzsaw was...
I know. For me, I feel like it was a separated movie. The artsy stuff, I thought was a good commentary. But then as soon as I went to the horror element, I'm like, this isn't even the same movie. Like, it goes from, like,
it's
corny to
not trying
to
be
corny.
A lot of things.
Yeah. Mm. But anyway, I feel like it's the whole thing that happened with Ryan Gosling. Mm-hmm. He did Drive, and that was amazing. And then they're like, the director's like, hey, you want to do this next movie with me? So he's like... okay.
That's often how it works, man. You get a squad. Yeah. I was just watching the Ken Jeong thing the other day, his comedy special, and there's a huge portion of it is essentially just him thanking, you know, the people that got him in the industry. He was like a doctor.
Yeah, he literally was. I have no idea how he started, but I remember, was it
The Hangover?
No, before then. Knocked Up, I think.
Oh,
he played
sorry,
a
knocked,
tiny
was
role
it the,
in that.
Yeah, so Judd Apatow, I guess, was the director of that.
Yeah.
And yeah, I worked with him, and just like, loved him and was like, man, are you down to do this? And basically stopped, like, quit being a doctor or
whatever. Which is crazy, because it's like, I mean, I guess you're helping people still, but in a different way.
Yeah.
So you're not exactly just being taken away from society.
Mm-hmm. It's a funny special. You should watch it.
Yeah, I gotta look it up.
What is your main go-to streaming service? Do you use Netflix, Amazon, Crackle, Crave?
It's been Netflix since it started. Or not since it started, but
still
since it's popular in Canada.
You don't have cable anymore?
No, we got satellite, but we only use it for Super Bowl and sports events. But aside from Netflix, I recently got Crave. Just for HBO. Because last season, Game of Thrones coming out.
Yeah, I need to get
Refresh.
Crave.
That's right. I was illegally streaming, but the loading times were terrible, and a lot of the links were dead, so... Yeah, that's the only reason I got it.
You mind if I vape, by the way?
By all means, yeah. Nice. This is a smoke-friendly house.
You know, God, this is empty. Thing. Maybe I didn't bring my other vape. We're in trouble here. Oops.
But, yeah, if you don't mind me asking, just because it's been so long since I've seen you, what's your family life like? What have I missed out on? Not much. You moved out. That's about it.
No. Hopefully I'm not going to be a Debbie Downer here. Some of it's actually, like, other work that I'll get to. Mm-hmm. Last I saw you, I still have the same girlfriend, Dasha. Mm-hmm.
Because what year was that? 2012? No, 13 or 14? Let's say 14.
What year is it now? Time flies. 2019?
Yeah.
Crazy so fast. I guess 2015 is when that kind of really started picking up.
Picking up? Because I remember because I was doing my books, right?
Yeah.
I was going to have her to illustrate, but she was busy with something else.
Yeah.
But it was around that time, and that time was around 2014. But no, this is my first one. This is my second one. This is my third one.
That's legendary, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I wrote some books. Fuck me. That's also fucking rad. Yeah, these three are for you, so you can have them.
Oh my God! Thank you.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, dude.
The second and third are first editions, though. I'm reworking some of the last chapters, but you can read the first editions.
Oh, dude! And then super when the final cool. Comes out,
bada boom, bada bing.
Yo, I hope when these get a movie deal, I'm the director in one. Holla.
Yeah, me too. Jesus. I don't want to be the director, but I'd like to be the screenwriter. See what happens, or at least the co-writer.
And I got some high-res dope moon photos if you want.
Yeah, obviously I did
some,
that one.
I just did the super blood moon or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
She did a small...
Was that last night?
A small graphic. No, there was a super moon last night. I didn't take a picture of that one.
But what, the December? Or when was
yeah,
last
yeah, one? That was the super cold one. Here, I gotta swing back here now and find wherever it is. Oh, there we are.
Whoa.
The scope of all of them. Here we go. Hey, how do I not look at my photo? So through the stages. Oh, let me also bring up my brightness because this is super, super dark.
Yeah. Damn. And you like edited this and everything?
Yeah.
There it is.
Dash helped me put some of it together.
Damn. Yo, that's fucking sick.
Yeah.
God. That's some good shit, man. Moons. Was the moon landing fake? That is my question for you. Did Neil Armstrong step his boot onto the moon surface, or was it in a Hollywood basement?
I
what's your opinion?
To my belief, I could look. I haven't looked into it extensively, and I've heard some of the theories about, like, how can there be like wind in space and all this. There's a lot of potential things, but I don't think that it's all a conspiracy. I don't think that we haven't reached the moon. That's, you know, considering that in modern science, people have their own ability to just witness things in our orbiting atmosphere, look at the moon regularly, things like that. I don't think that. Even if there was some type of a delay in this happening, or maybe they like fibbed a tiny bit, or maybe they didn't even like get out or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
There could be a million and one things, but I don't think it's as far as like it's a completely fabricated story from concept to deliverable.
Yeah.
You know,
as far as I know, there's reflectors that you can point lasers at the moon. Like they used it to try and measure something.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there's. Like, they didn't land on the dark side of the moon. They landed where the sun shines. So we can, you know, you get a good enough telescope. I don't know what the coordinates are, but I'm sure you could find artifacts if you look close enough. What do you think about the face and the pyramids and stuff on Mars? Have you seen those pictures? This is old stuff now I'm bringing back, but just for fun. Because, yeah, tons of people are like, civilization on Mars.
That'd be rad if, like, a bajillion years ago. I'm not ruling it out. I think it's highly unlikely. But if it is a thing, you know, we've discovered like systems of pyramids, even just on Earth, that are, you know, fairly intricate, that we still wonder. It's like, how was this designed so well? And systems for irrigation and things. And it's like, well, this is highly advanced. We did not think that this was possible at that time. So, you know, do I think we could have our minds blown? Yeah, absolutely. But do I think there's some like there's so much. I don't know. I think
how it intentionally hidden or whatever, because otherwise it'd be on the, you know, news through NASA or whatever. So it isn't. So therefore, it's either hidden or it's a naturally formed pyramid.
It's still important to be like skeptical of things, and it's still important to like seek every possibility of truth. And sometimes that means entertaining something ridiculous just to further, you know, some research into something.
Yeah. I'd say the same. But yeah, who knows? Because there's Antarctica. There's a pyramid-shaped mountain there. And they were like, it's a conspiracy, or it's an ancient civilization, and stuff like that. But no, it's just a mountain. Like, snow fell on it in a certain way, that kind of thing. So it's super rare, but a four-sided mountain can exist. You know, unless, obviously, just its mere existence is also a conspiracy. But that's the thing. Conspiratorial thinking, it's to be skeptical isn't a bad thing. It's just to the degree of which you do it. Because, like you have to trust people in your life just to hone it in, right? It's like your family members, your friends, your loved ones. You have to be able to trust people a little bit. You got to be able to, if you have zero trust for people. Unless you're that skeptical.
Have you seen Bandersnatch?
I don't know why I'm blanking right now.
Bandersnatch is the
Black
Mirror interactive.
I started watching it. I haven't finished it, and I don't know why. Because I loved it, but I was just got busy or something.
Oh, man. Yeah, you'd love it. But yeah, there's this one. You know what? Maybe I won't ruin it. But yeah.
Okay, Bandersnatch to the audience.
Yeah. Maybe your reality isn't as you see. Maybe your relatives are all paid, by the government. And they're...
Could be, yeah. The Truman Show.
Yeah.
Yeah. or a Westworld, if we want to be relevant.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. Yeah. Westworld is such a brilliant, brilliant show. I think it's, like, Red Dead Redemption 2 is the closest, like, I think... sociological study that's again something that's close to Westworld that we have, because we see people's like weird sides now through an internet game, and this is also something that you're performing often in first person, like you're the actual eyes of the character. It's not a third person thing where it's like I'm controlling a doll and I'm doing something fucked up. It's like me in the screen, like my own persona is doing this. And you know, even if it's just like there was someone who was over at one point in the last few months when we had like a gathering, there's people over and there's a few of the screens going, but you got to see my basement. It's like TV central, there's rooms,
yeah, nice.
Oh my God. All of the screens are going, yeah. So anyways, this one dude was playing Red Dead on the big screen, and he was playing online, and there was like a girl or something, he was like shooting, he was being like completely inappropriate, and he made like a lot of people at the party like highly uncomfortable, and you know, that clearly showed something aside of himself. It's like, here's what I would take joy in doing like right now. And I'm not saying this person's like gonna go out and hurt people, okay? But I'm saying that, you know, that's not necessarily how you have to play the game, and that was definitely like a choice, and that says a lot about who he is as a human, that's how he's choosing to go and play this simulator or game or whatever you want to call it, because this is highly detailed, right? Like the graphic nature of this stuff when you're like stabbing or killing or shooting, like the caliber of the bullet is something they take into consideration, you know, like how it bleeds out, like if someone's hanging upside down that the blood like saturates their hair and drips and bleeds off. It's like these are highly super detailed
realistic
things.
Yeah,
and they give me ideas too for movie scenes, just like the fact that I can focus on something. I'm like, damn, that's a hell of an angle.
Exactly. Use it as a camera simulator.
Oh, dude, even the camera stuff in it, dude. You can go to this like cinema mode where it's almost like I'm a drone, like a pilot. I do some drone operator. I need to get my licensing actually, so I'm not currently a drone operator anymore. I did a shot for Umbrella Academy the other day. Shh, don't tell anyone.
Oh, you did actually. Yeah, nice. That's awesome. I gotta watch it now.
I gotta watch it too. That's started like the first episode a couple times. I just haven't been able to get through it. The dancing scenes and stuff, and it seemed kind of gratuitous. There's some things that annoy me in it a little bit.
I was gonna do a side note there. You know how Netflix is trying to make this huge studio in Toronto now?
About
that?
Yeah.
Is that happening or is that in consideration?
No, that is happening, I believe.
Okay. Nice.
I don't know if, like, it doesn't sound like all of the labor will be people from here. We'll see how it works.
Ah,
it sounds like just opening an office. And I'm hoping, though, that it's something that, you know, people like myself will have more work, and, you know, it'll make stuff for content creators more accessible.
Yeah.
That'd be really, really cool.
I guess time will tell.
Exactly. Yeah, that's something that, like, we'll see how it turns out. This big business moving here sometimes can be a really bad thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, is that like with Amazon? They have one of their head offices.
Amazon is its own monster. Do you have Prime? Do you watch any of that stuff?
Illegally. The last one I saw was with Joaquin Phoenix. What was that movie?
Oh.
It was on Prime. You Were Never Really Here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a great allegory for veterans and
yeah, America. No kidding.
Something else. Those ending bits were amazing.
Yeah, I love that whole movie. I watched it all the way through. It wasn't slow to me, but then you try and watch it with someone else, and you're like, this is so boring.
Oh, dude, there's so many... I want to watch more movies alone. There's too many times where...
yeah, audience members can get in the way, yeah.
Communally, I love watching in a community, but when it's like my own, some of my own people, you know, and they're very opinionated in their own right, and that can take away from my viewing experience sometimes. So there's nothing better than to be immersed in a movie, especially when you're that deep in it, and to not be disturbed. There's nothing worse than when you're in something and you're feeling something. You're like, your soul is latching on to something.
And then you get disassociated.
You feel a sense of like unity with this thing. You're like, this movie was made for me. Someone comes in, says some dumb shit that like alters your perspective, or like makes you think that like, you know, you're silly for feeling or whatever it is. And your inspiration just goes right out the window. Yeah. That's the worst.
Yeah, that sucks. That's unfortunate. I know. Most of the movies I watch alone or in the movie theater where... either like I'll watch shit movies knowing they're shit with one of my friends. We go to the movies, we pay for a ticket, and then we'll watch something like Skyscraper Rampage.
And
we just shit talk the movie the whole time.
It's amazing experience. Sometimes that's brilliant. Like breaking something down. It's if there's other viewers there that are like really there to enjoy it, then it's like don't be an asshole.
Don't be a dick. But, go to the side where you're farthest away from
but
people.
In some regards, that's even the best when you're communally just roasting something, right?
Yeah,
that's awesome. I've only been to one. And it was at my buddy's university, but they used to have this, like, biannual screening of The Room.
And that's awesome.
Stab it at the theater. And everyone's just roasting, laughing, like, not even paying full attention, because it's a...
You've seen it so many times.
If you're paying the full attention to that movie, then, my God. Like, you're doing your due diligence if you do it once, to be like, I just had to see what it was about. If you're still watching it with the full attention that thereafter, like...
Then you are Wizzo.
You got
you're
problems.
In the mind, yeah. Jesus. But yeah, it's true. Well, anyway, we're winding down. Got another 9 or so minutes left.
Oh, man. Wow. I'm so sorry. I've just been rambling.
There's nothing to be sorry about. This is everything that we could have talked about.
Next time I'll talk about specific subject matter.
No. That's,
I'll be more structured next time.
It doesn't have to be. That's, you know, it's a secret. No one knows who you are. So if you come next time, you could be a completely different person. Put on a cowboy hat, change your accent, bada boom, bada bing.
That'd be a good exercise.
See if that actually works, because I feel like if you do change your look, it helps with trying to change your mannerisms as well. Like, not that I'm an actor or anything, right? Mm-hmm. But, I whenever I do like, if I know I'm going out, whether it's to, like, a close party where I know all the people, or it's with strangers, I put on different clothing that I have, and it literally does sort of change the atmosphere of what I sort of bring. But that's because I'm, like, I don't know, I'm sensitive. I acclimate to situations depending on what it is, right?
I'm also a chameleon.
You cry, I cry.
Yeah. I'm a chameleon.
Sucks.
Baby.
I'm a big fat baby. But, you know, it helps when I do stuff like that, too. Mm-hmm. I think it's kind of cool. Yeah.
Oh, I feel like there is. I'm going to touch on it just because I feel like I'm just silly not to touch on it since you brought it up as a question.
Yeah.
And you're asking, what about the family stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, so about. A year ago, or maybe a little longer. Yeah, well, like, the process started before that. My dad was one of the first people to do medical assistance in dying at home.
He did actually do that?
Yeah.
Jesus, wow.
And so we actually did a little doc piece on it. My dad was a sports writer for the Globe and Mail for, like, 40 years, and also not just a sports writer, but an activist. Mm-hmm. So a very bittersweet irony when towards... You know, at the end of his life, he was diagnosed with, again, two diseases under the umbrella of Parkinson's, cortical basal syndrome and, like, supranuclear palsy. But essentially, they affect, like, the cognitive centers of his brain, the communication centers. So, very bitter irony. He put it as, like, cut off my legs or put me in a wheelchair, but, like, if you...
Don't mess with my
brain. Yeah. And so, the way it works legally is they need to have, like, several doctors sign off several times up until the day... Let's say this person is of sound body and mind in making this decision. You can't premeditate it. And so my dad's greatest fear was essentially missing his date or having a doctor believe that he wasn't of sound mind and body when the time came. And then he would essentially just be trapped in this vessel in his body for as long as natural medicine would allow, which could be a really long time in this day and age.
Yeah.
So my dad moved his date up to January 27th, not this year, this past year. So it's just been over a year. And there was a doc, like, we used the whole opportunity to make a documentary, and it was kind of my dad's last ability to be an activist and a voice for an issue that, you know, that he thought very strongly about.
What was the issue? I don't mind me asking.
Like, what's the issue with what his...
What was he being an activist towards?
Euthanasia. There's a lot of people that don't agree with it, and a lot of doctors don't even, like, make it available. Let alone that it's hard for a lot of, like, people to come to terms with, like, making a decision like that. It's very, very tough when someone's already considering it. But when they have to think of the fact that they're... If they really want it and their family disagrees with it, or, you know, something else, or someone might get in trouble because they're not doing it in a legal way. Yeah, it's, like, a lot to think about. So I guess in that regard, for being an activist, it's my dad's just last voice to say, this is my decision, and if someone else chooses it, it should be their right. And if not just that, to be an activist, but more so just to leave a story that if anyone else can relate to in any way, or if anyone else can... be comforted in knowing that they're not the only people who have had to undertake, again, a huge decision like that, or coming to terms with someone else's decision, it's just a part of life. And that not only that, but that it's actually can be more beautiful if it's allowed, right? Most people don't get to settle their affairs and say goodbye to the people they want. Death happens suddenly. My dad got to, you know, say goodbye to all of the people he wanted to say goodbye to. His last day was essentially just, like, singing his favorite songs in the arms of his family, like, having toasts, like, you know, not many people can say that. Like, even for me, it's like, wow, like, maybe I want to control the method in which, like, I go. You know.
Yeah, I mean, that's an important thing.
Yeah.
Because, we don't choose to be born. And, you know, almost all of us don't choose how we go, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, and that's obviously, like, the biggest difference to something like suicide, right? Because that's not the same at all. If you had the ability to live, you choose to live, right? It's the fact that you know you're not...
Yeah, my dad's quality of life wasn't living, and so that was the difference. So in that regard, we are one fewer now at the at the household. I've moved out with Dash. My brother's moved back with my mom. So she's at the house, but she's like Marie Kondo, fucking, like, now that it's been a year, she's clearing out the house. She's on the war path.
Yeah.
And it's because she's saying, like, the way she, I can't even empathize maybe fully. I'm sympathizing. But when she looks around the house, when I look around the house, I feel everything. Like, we grew up in that house. Every trinket, everything on the wall is a memory or, you know, representative of something or an experience we've had or shared or vacation, something. And to my mom, it's like, it's that much more. This is the person that she's known since she was 16. And she worded it to me once. She's like, this is the first time I've been alone as an adult in my entire life. Yeah. Like, and so she's just learning how to be an adult for the first time, really. Just something I haven't even thought about, right?
Yeah.
So there's something beautiful in being reborn as well. Like, my mom's mantra, and it's always been this, I try to adopt it as well. I still don't know what I want to do when I grow up.
It's amazing, because it's true, right?
Yeah, so she's going to reinvent herself. I think she's trying to get back into acting and stuff. Hopefully I can, you know, write a couple things and get something with her and get her off the ground.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, things are going good then, right? Because that's...
I think so. Yeah, they're still all over the place, but I'm going with the flow. Some things are slower than others. Film is a very beautiful thing, treacherous at times.
Yeah, because that's the scariest thing to me, right, is commission work. I mean... Like, even though I'm now part of this startup company, it's the closest thing I've ever come to it. And that's so much more stable than doing a project-based thing, right?
Yeah. Because
it's at least in the guise of a company. Yeah. But, yeah, I gotta say, I admire you a lot, you know. Thank I appreciate, you know, everything you're doing for the Toronto community at large, right? Because if it wasn't for people like you, we wouldn't at least be going in the right direction.
Oh, well,
people look to BC. For the film industry. I mean, you know, fuck that noise. It should be Toronto. Toronto's the biggest city in the country, right?
Anywhere film is being produced is a beautiful thing.
That's true. We shouldn't get all territorial,
The collaborating with anyone is dope, right? Some of the most beautiful stuff I've seen is, like, you know, buddy from Thailand and DOP from here and someone else from China and someone from Quebec, and it's like, yo, that team made something fucking dope. And, like, you know, there's only three of them able to communicate with each other. They all
kill them. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, man, that's art, right? Because it's the same as they say with music is the universal language. It's like any creative avenue is universal, right? You don't have to speak the language to... I mean, you do have to have some semblance of communication, but just from anywhere, it doesn't matter what your background is. You come together, you make a project.
Yeah.
You have fun, right?
Yeah.
I guess that's the project of life, right? Have fun. It's like that corny song. And I don't know if I've mentioned this before on the podcast, so I won't repeat it after this, but the... I don't know if it's Calvin Harris, but the whole life is a game and love is the prize, that kind of thing. It's so corny. It's the corniest thing in the world.
No, that sounds like a good mantra.
Yeah. If you don't look at the basics of, like, what we're even doing here, then, you know... Like, people love to get complicated in things, but, you know, you stick to the basics, and, you know, at least you're okay. So, you know, that's what I live my life by, is the whole love aspect, right? But regardless, we're into the hour mark, so we'll leave you, but I'd love to talk to you again.
It's totally up to we'll you. Need to do this more. I'd love to do this again. This has kind of been my first brush with this, so you know, hopefully I don't sound too rusty.
No, not at all. I mean, I got the Meteor mic. My like the first 25 episodes I did was just on my laptop speaker, and it's terrible. So it's one of those things where your ears get used to it after however many seconds.
Yeah. Oh no, I'm not worried about the sound quality. I mean, like just me, my cadence and how I speak and just my everything, how I articulate myself.
Yeah. Well, I think you did a good job. Oh, well, and that's all that matters.
Yeah.
You know, to my 200,000 audience members. No, just kidding. I got like one or two.
That's sweet.
But if anything, my grandma. But this is like a time capsule. That's the way I look at it.
Exactly.
Right? I'm doing this as a hobby.
Dude,
it's
perfect.
Just recorded conversations with people in my life.
That's, and if it becomes something even better, that's what I used to do with Instagram. It was just supposed to be a personal journal.
Yeah.
And it's just for me to look back on. And if other people want to look at the journal with me and think it's cool, dope, man.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, hey, thanks for coming by.
Thank you, man. Do this again. I promise you, we'll do this again.
Awesome.